nicht wie wir es ja wollen. There's some pieces of law and some I don't know. That's nice to see all of you anyway. Could you turn with me, please? Because we're going to read in two verses tonight. The first being in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we'll just take time to let you start up to find a place. Romans chapter 1. And verse 15. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We could then turn please to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The writer of these verses that we've wrote was a man called Paul, but we can always call Paul. Originally, he was called Saul. And if we just look what he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Can I tell you something? That was not always the case. He was a man who despised the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man who despised those who claimed the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, to be the Savior of men. His ambition was to do away with all those who believed in the name of Jesus Christ. And what's more, from the ruling authorities of the Jews, he had the power to do it. But one day, on such a mission, God met him in a very spectacular way. This man who despised the name of Jesus Christ was stopped dead in his tracks. On a mission to get Christians and put them into prison, the Bible tells us this: a light greater than the noonday sun hit them full in the face, temporarily blinded them, and he heard a voice, distinct, clear, that nobody else in the company heard. So, why are you persecuting me? The voice he heard was none other than the voice of Jesus Christ himself. Why are you persecuting me? And in a split second, this man realized the folly of his ways. This man realized he was doing something that was contrary to the will of Jesus Christ. He was a persecutor of the church, a persecutor of the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in that split second, when he heard that voice, Why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? His conscience was touched. Touched in such a way that he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? In a split second, from being a persecutor, he became a believer. And he's writing to Christians in Rome at this time. And he says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He had nothing to feel guilty about. He had nothing to feel as if he was breaching something belonging to somebody else. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. From being a hater to somebody that's no longer ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And what is the gospel of Christ? The gospel, the word itself, means good news. In one sense. In times past, in years past, when we used to say something to people and wanted to convince them it was true, you would say what? This is the gospel truth. Now, this afternoon, I looked up the dictionary, and the two of the meanings it gave for the gospel were this. One, a thing that may be safely believed. Safely believed. Why? Because it's true. Why? Because it's the word of God. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but through him, the world might be saved. A thing one may safely believe. One of the other meanings was this. A thing accepted as infallibly true. And this is the one that I think Paul is referring to. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The thing that is infallibly true. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. God uses no other way to reach people than through the gospel. Whether it be preached by word, whether it be preached by deed, he has no other way to reach people than the gospel. But it's not just any old gospel, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, who's available to you? He says, well, this gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to salvation, is available to everyone. And if you left it there, it would still be true. But it says, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or the Gentile, which takes on everyone else. It says, it's the power of God unto salvation. Now then, again, consulting the dictionary. I did various things this afternoon. And it's worthy salvation. Salvation speaks of what? It speaks of deliverance. It speaks of safety. And to a certain extent, we can appreciate that. Just in the news this week, what have we read of? A memorial to men who, with intention, the greatest of intention, went into a lifeboat with the intention of going out to save other people. What happened? The boat capsized and every one of the lifeboat members lost. We can appreciate that. They went to save and it didn't happen. Their lives were lost. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So who does it take in its scope? It takes in everybody. It takes in everybody without exception. The salvation is available to everyone that believes. There are people today who say, God can condemn us out of hand. We're sinners, but God can't condemn us out of hand. He doesn't. Sin requires justice. Sin requires judgment. And every one of us, in sin, who haven't believed, we are condemned. Unequivocally condemned. It says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We come under that scope. And I'm glad to say tonight, probably the majority in this company have experienced salvation through Jesus Christ because they believe Him. Not in their head, but in their heart. The power of God unto salvation. When we look at some of the TV adverts, especially when it comes to cleaning products, what do we read? It has the power to take away a stain. It has the power to clean. It can take away the worst of stains. Well, you know, the worst of stains isn't on a fabric. It isn't on a surface. The worst of stains that affects humankind today is the stain of sin in the heart. These products talk about being powerful, but they haven't the power to deal with the spiritual wickedness that's inside us. Jesus Christ is the only one who has the power to deal with that kind of thing. He's the only one that has the power, the authority from God to be able to clean the soul. The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. When we come to our second verse, we read this. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and the writer adds, of whom I am chief. This is a faithful saying. Again, with the dictionary. It says this, what does faithful mean? Two meanings are this. It's trustworthy. You can believe it. It's reliable. You can depend on it. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, you can look at it in two ways. It's worthy of all acceptation for us to believe it. It's worthy of accepting on that scope. But it's also worthy on another scope. It's worthy of everybody believing. He says, it's worthy of all acceptation. Christmas is a long past. And most of us look forward to it. Especially when you're a baby. And what do we look forward to? We look forward to getting gifts. But the whole thing is, a gift can be intended for you. It's meant for you, but unless you actually receive it, unless you actually accept it, it's never yours. When it's in that position where it's been handed to you, it's no use till it's in your hand. And that's like the salvation of Jesus Christ. It's offered to you from the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation, forgiveness of sin, redemption of the soul, pardon for sin, is offered to you, but it's no use. Do you take it? You see, this is a faithful saying. It's trustworthy. You can believe it. It's reliable. You can depend on it. And it's worthy of all acceptation. And one of the meanings was this. Worthy means deserving. It deserves to be accepted. And it deserves to be accepted because of this. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. One of the things it says, the dictionary, both Bible and the ordinary dictionary say this. That a sinner is one who has broken God's law and moral law. That's what a sinner is. And there's not one of us who hasn't broken God's law or a moral law. Every one of us has failed, speaker included. That this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. What? That Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came with the intention of saving. He came with the power to save. He comes with the ability to save. But so much depends on us. There is nothing we can do to merit salvation. We can't work for it. We can't pay for it. It's beyond our ability to do that. But what we can do is do what God requires of us. And that is to receive His Son as our Saviour. But you see, but how can that work? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, we're told this. And bear in mind, it's worthy of accepting that He came into the world to save sinners. The Bible tells us this. He didn't come to condemn. We were already condemned. He came to lift us away from that condemnation. He came to set us free. He came to give us liberty that we've never ever been able to have. The Bible tells us this. We're conceived in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. And from the day of our conception, really, what are we? We're sinners. It's your nature. We can't help it. There's a lot of talk these days about people who are ill-behaved and people who are well-behaved. Is it nurture? Is it nature? Is it nature that we're sinners? Or are we nurtured to be sinners? It's intrinsically built into us. We're sinners by nature. But the Lord Jesus Christ looked at us and loved us and still loves us, and He was prepared to do something about it. He was prepared to be born, to leave heaven, to be born as a baby, sin apart, different for you and me. His birth wasn't totally different. And He was prepared to be scrutinized by all on Sunday. He was also prepared not only to be scrutinized, but to be questioned and doubted, but it didn't matter. Because of this, He came. You talk about people with tunnel vision, they only see what's in front of them. This is how the Lord Jesus was. To a certain extent, He had tunnel vision, even though the scope of what He was going to do would take in the whole world. He had tunnel vision in this respect. He came to seek and to save what was lost. And what was lost was you and me to God because of our sin. He came to rectify it. And the only way he could rectify that was this. He could see the big picture, how sin had to be judged. Sin couldn't be left to go run rampant in the individual. And he saw this, that for someone to be forgiven their sin, God had to judge it. God had to, what's the word I'm looking for? God had to judicially judge sin, he had to righteously judge sin, and he did that in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus was on Calvary's cross, he was blotted out so that nobody could see him. And in that time, God laid on him the iniquity, the wickedness for us all, and our judgment was borne by him. The scope of it took in everybody. The unfortunate thing is, some people don't want to be caught up in that scope. They want to do their own thing. They want to live their own life. They want to be independent. Can I tell you this? It's impossible to be independent to be saved. Without trusting Jesus Christ as your Saviour, the person who will forgive you your sin, the person who will pardon your sin, the person who will put you on a right footing with God, unless you trust in him, you can't be saved. It's an impossibility. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a fallacy these days when people say, I'm too good to be saved. They're doing one of the things that breaks God's law. They're lying. And who are they lying to? They're lying to God and they're lying to themselves. There is no such thing as being too good to be saved. Then you have the other side of the equation. There are those who say, I'm too bad to be saved. God couldn't possibly want to save me. I'm too bad. So let's just read that verse again and catch the tail end of it. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul adds, of whom I am chief. He considers himself to be the chief of sinners whom Jesus saved. Tonight, there is nobody, even in this room, can consider himself too bad to be saved. Too bad to be beyond redemption. Too bad to be on salvation. The scope that Jesus Christ has and his heart of love transcends those who think themselves too good to be saved and those who think themselves too bad to be saved. Jesus Christ loves us with an intensity that is so difficult to explain. When I was just an apprentice, one of the things we had to do now and again was go and repair the boilers for the heat, for the whole complex. And what used to happen is we would be repairing or overhaul the spare boiler. The working boiler if he were there with the man at the time, and he was going to feed it. He opened this trap door and a blast of heat. It was unbelievable. The blast of heat was unbelievable. That came to the boiler. Not like a domestic boiler, but when it was coal fire and the heat that came out of the place was unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you something. That is nothing compared to the intensity and the heat of love that God has for you. It's unbelievable the intensity of the love God has for you. And tonight, as he looks at you, as you looked at me, he wants you to do something. You can't do something to save yourself. The only thing that's left open to you is this, is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Trust is something that you can't demand. Trust is something that has to be earned. I'll tell you something. To put your trust in Jesus Christ, he has earned it. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ earned your trust. Tonight, you have a decision to make. Serious decision. When Paul was stopped on the road to Damascus, and he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" It was a life-changing experience for him. And to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior is a life-changing experience. Because instead of having your eyes close to God, your heart shut down, the shutters down, when you receive him, you want to do what he wants you to do. You want to serve him as he wants you to. As he wants you to. It's not just that. You'll go from heaven, the devil as your master, directing you how to go, where to err, and all the rest of it. And you have Jesus Christ, who puts you on the right path, keeps you in the right relationship with God. Tonight, you have a serious decision to make. Is it Christ for me or no Christ for me? Will Jesus be my Savior? Yes, I will. Another thing that's impossible is there's no great area. You can't sit on the fence. There's no great area. We talk about being black for white. And when it comes to the salvation and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, it's as simple as that, as black or white. You either trust him and you're saved, or you don't trust him and you're condemned to a lost eternity in hell. Not because he wants you to go there, but because of your own action. So tonight, what will it be? Christ for me? And save forever. No Christ for me, and condemned forever. We can appreciate time. Every one of us is a prisoner of time. Some who haven't reached 10 years old, some who have lost reached a lot more years than that. We're all prisoners of time, and we can appreciate time. When it comes to eternity, that never, ever, 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 ever ends. And we're outside of Christ, we've never trusted him as our Saviour, we didn't deem him worthy of accepting. And we're condemned for lost to God forever. Is it worth it? Tonight you have an onus put on you, a responsibility to trust Jesus as your Savior. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? Soon, you might be asking, what will he do with me? Tonight, I would urge you, with all sincerity, to trust Jesus as your Savior, to make him your own, to belong to him. Why? Because it's worth it. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That is available, that power, that gospel is available to you tonight. Secondly, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He loves us, but love that cannot be measured. He is not willing that we should be condemned to eternity, for all eternity. But the onus is on us, whether we receive him or whether we reject him. The choice is entirely up to us. Will you take time, please, to see, to sign? Number 117. Wondrous who loves thee, waiting still for thee, canst thou yet reject him, none so kind as he. Do not grieve him longer, come and trust him now. He has waited all thy days. Why waitest thou? We'll start to sing after the introduction if it's convenient. Thank you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you at the close of another gospel meeting. Lord, we appreciate that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Our prayer, Lord, is that those in the company who as yet have never trusted your Son as a Saviour will make the decision tonight. For we cannot appreciate what tomorrow may bring. We may not even see tomorrow. We know not what our day may bring forth. Lord, you might come tonight to take from the world your own. What of those that are left? Opportunity gone. Lord, tonight be with us. Give us grace to consider the things that have been mentioned. Give us the mind to receive them into our heart. That Christ died for me. Though there may be millions, maybe even billions in the world, Christ died for me. So Lord, tonight, give us the grace and simplicity, like a childlike spirit, to receive your Son as our Saviour and make him both Saviour and Lord. This we ask, Lord, committing yourself to you now, as we split up and go our various ways. In Jesus' name. Amen.